From El Caja Vilca in the technical production, edition and music selection.
Manténgase en la sintonía de CKUT, nuestro próximo programa, The International Radio Report.
Stay tuned to CKUT, next, The International Radio Report.
Tengan todos ustedes un feliz domingo.
Have a happy Sunday.
I'm Richard Cuff of Allentown, Pennsylvania. You're tuned to the International Radio Report. 30 minutes of news about radio on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the International Radio Report for Sunday, April the 7th, 2024. We thank you for tuning in to us here on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal. My name's Sheldon. I am here with Jill. We are here every Sunday morning at 10:30 Eastern to get you up to date on what's happening in the world of radio. We're going to start off by doing a little bit of a wrap-up on the last 2 weeks at CKUT, where it was funding drive. And we, as we did last week, we thanked all of the people who contributed, not only to our show, but to all of the shows here on CKUT. So we thank our listeners who so generously donated to the funding drive to support not just our show, but to the station in general, and to give us an outlet to be able to have a show like ours on the air. The funding drive was aiming for $50,000 and actually reached and surpassed the $50,000. They're sitting at approximately $55,000 pledged for the drive. So we thank everyone. We want to remind everyone, if you didn't pay your pledges right away online when you made your donation, maybe some of you want to send in a check or what have you, or drop off money at the radio station, we do want to remind you to honor your pledge. It's always something that sometimes you kind of do it and you forget, and it's very important that they collect that money fairly quickly. So if you have not paid it yet, please go ahead and honor your pledge. It is greatly appreciated. And you know, if you missed the funding drive shows and you know you were away, whatever, you can donate anytime at all. It doesn't only happen during the funding drive. You can go online, click the donate button on the website, and the forms are still there. So you can make a donation really at any time of the year.
So we have in our news today, more New York State property owners get the pirate letter via Radio World April 1st. The FCC Enforcement Bureau's New York office has sent the pirate letter to two property owners, Mount Vernon, an inner suburb of New York City, and another in Poughkeepsie. In both cases, the letters advised the property owners that unlicensed FM broadcast signals had been found emanating from their properties and that they face potential financial penalties of up to $2.39 million. In the first case, the FCC said it received a complaint of illegal broadcasts on 104.5 megahertz, and that in May of last year, it traced them to a property on South 3rd Avenue in Mount Vernon, which is just north of the Bronx. The letter was sent to Jeromeo B. Edwards, owner of the property. In the second case, the FCC got a complaint about broadcasts on 87.9 megahertz in Poughkeepsie. In September, its agents traced them to a property on Albert Road owned by Kawan F. Morrison and Shade S. Bailey. So more letters being sent. We have not that much news of how effective these letters are, though, because we don't really hear about have they been successful in some way and to shut down permanently or to even get a fine. So, but they are continuing their search and sending in letters to the owners.
I wonder, you know, if I was a property owner and got one of these letters, how would I react? What would I do? I guess in some cases, the person, the owner, could be the pirate himself who's running the station. then you would react one way. But if you're a property owner, landowner, if you live in a building, I'd be running around right away looking in the building to see what's going on. If I didn't live in the building, then you got to, you know, do a little extra work. It'd be interesting to see how these property owners are reacting when they get these letters. And as you said, the threat of $2.39 million fines, I think I'd act pretty quickly, you know, one way or the other, whether it's me who's doing the illegal activity or whether it's somebody in my property somewhere, I think I'd take some kind of action pretty quickly. Does he even know what they're talking about? You know, yeah. What's pirate radio? You know, I don't know. It's an interesting process, but I hope it's effective. You know, they're putting a lot of time and effort into it, but I'm sure it can create a bit of a tense situation for the property owners, to say the least.
Yeah, definitely. So we have something coming up on Monday, April 8th, and of course, it's a total solar eclipse. And here in Montreal, we are a big chunk of the southern part of Quebec, actually, is in the totality path. And I was listening to Shom, as I've been listening to Shom FM 97.7 a lot more in the last month, and heard the announcement. And so Montreal's Shom 97.7 FM's Solar Eclipse Special. Shom 97.7 celebrates the total solar eclipse with Pink Floyd's Dark Side of the Moon vinyl version, spun live from the turntables in the Shom 97.7 studio. The needle drops April 8th at 2:42 p.m. Local time here in Montreal. The iconic last line of the album will play just as the eclipse, its totality, at 3:26 p.m. Remember, don't look at the eclipse, but do listen as it's happening. Mark this once-in-a-lifetime experience with the spirit of rock, Shom 97.7 FM. And I believe the last line of the album is something like, as the sun is eclipsed by the moon. So that's exactly where it's going to happen. Remember that you better listen on a radio, because if you're listening on a streaming device and there's a big buffer going on, you might be delayed by up to a minute and wonder why it didn't happen as the eclipse happens. So it's time to turn on the radio.
That's one thing you have to think of, that for sure. For those that don't know, Shom FM in Montreal has been pretty much Montreal's only pure rock radio station, either English or French, actually. So it's interesting to see that they're actually doing something unique to fit in with the eclipse. So if you're within range of Shom 97.7, you might want to have that on in the background if you're involved in some of the other solar eclipse activities. And we're going to have a lot to talk about this coming up in the second part of our show. Tying it in nicely, though, Gilles, you're going to talk about what's happening with the sun now before it gets blacked out for a few minutes on Monday.
Yep, absolutely. So one of the first things that happens this week is how quiet suddenly the sun is. Solar activity has dropped to low levels as the sun turns nearly spotless. At one point, we almost thought there would be a day without any spots, but it didn't happen. The big sunspots that were dangerous from last week are gone. They're on the other side of the solar disk. But most of the sunspots that are on the sun right now are small, pretty stable. We're expecting, you know, still good conditions. It's still not solar minimum. There's still activity. There's some sunspots there. And the bands are pretty good. But we're in a little quiet moment. It doesn't mean that the solar cycle is going down or anything. There are these quiet moments in between a lot of flaring and a lot of activity. The sunspot number 47, the solar flux 114. It's been a long time since I've seen it so low. Not only turn on a radio to listen to the activity, but also of all the changing activity coming up with the solar eclipse.
This is John Figliozzi of Clifton Park, New York. You're listening to the International Radio Report on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal.
So we're going to focus in on radio-related activities to the total eclipse. There are all kinds of different events going around locally and wherever you may live. There's probably parties, eclipse parties happening, events at science museums and planetariums and what have you. but there is definitely a connection to radio. And if you're a regular listener to our show or you're a radio hobbyist, you probably know what some of these connections are. If you're not quite sure, we're going to talk about some of the basic things that are going on. But there's one unique thing that I came across in an article in Radio World by Nick Langan. Indiana County will supercharge its travelers information station for the eclipse. An Indiana county that will experience totality during the April 8th solar eclipse is cranking up the power on its travelers information station, known as TISs, to help visitors in their area. Morgan County operates a TIS station, WQSI-562, on 1700 kilohertz AM from the county seat in Martinsville. The entire county lies within the path of totality. Martinsville will see more than 4 minutes of darkness, amongst the longest in the Hoosier state. And the county website is providing extensive information for the expected rush of visitors. As required under Part 90 of FCC rules, the Travelers Information Station normally runs at just 10 watts. But for the period of April 1st to the 15th, the county requested special temporary authority to increase transmit power to 100 watts and to raise the antenna to 72 feet. The normal maximum is 49 feet. The commission granted the temporary license, and it is said a total solar eclipse meets the criteria for a temporary non-recurring service where regular authorization is not appropriate. The station will provide a location and details of free events and viewing sites throughout Morgan County, said Abigail Worth, Morgan County EMA director. Worth said the announcement on the TIS will also include eclipse viewing safety tips, traffic and travel reminders, and information on other methods for receiving updates pertaining to the county. They'll also have the ability to update the station's announcements in real time. The county anticipates hundreds of thousands of motorists traveling through on April 8th. It said the existing TIS would not be able to cover all of the stretch of the Interstate 69 that traverses the county, as well as State Route 67. Information Station Specialists is Morgan County's supplier of the electronics, antenna, and transmitter. The company also helped prepare for this application. ISS is providing an app, ASP ISIS ASM 100, 100 AM transmitter, and producing the eclipse announcements that will be heard on the station. When the gridlock that occurred not so far from the region during the 2017 solar eclipse, including the neighboring Kentucky, the county sees the value of having a TIS station for an event like the eclipse. So TIS stations, low-powered, we sometimes can hear them if you're really close to them. Yep. This may become a bit of a DXer's opportunity with a TIS station on 1700 kilohertz, jumping its power up to 100 watts, coverage should be quite a bit further, and especially during the period of peak darkness, the signal will travel even further. So if you're in that area, you might want to have the radio tuned to 1700, because you might be hearing something that you've not heard before.
Yeah, and if you're not in that area, but not that far and within the totality path somewhere, it might be an interesting target to try on 1700 at the same time.
Yeah, there could be other things, you know, just that you don't normally hear that might be popping up. This is one particular station that's doing something about it. We haven't heard of others doing a similar type of thing, but who knows? There's a lot of things going on out there. We're going to talk a lot about probably the rest of our show today, talking about the connection of radio and the solar eclipse. And I guess we should start with that. Why is there a connection? What are the radio people so excited about?
So one of the things that happens with a solar eclipse, we know that there are patterns in propagation of radio signals that go with day and night. And when there's a total solar eclipse, the path of totality, where it's dark, temporarily the ionosphere that reflects radio signals will change. A little bit like if we were going into sunset and darkness, but just for a short time. And the other interesting part of it is as the eclipse path of darkness moves on the surface of the Earth, that pattern will shift following the darkness bat. So it's going to be interesting to tune around the bands because there might be signals that get weaker, stronger, some that maybe are not there usually in the daytime, but suddenly will appear in that few minutes of totality. And you don't have to be within the path of totality, absolutely, to enjoy this. You can be outside of it and still enjoy some of the propagation that goes through it. So it's important to maybe visualize just a little bit where the totality is on a map compared to where you are located to maybe set some targets of where you want to try.
One thing that definitely will happen is there, because we only pick up these long distance AM signals in darkness at night, there are a number of stations that are called daytime only stations that broadcast throughout the daylight hours and then have to shut down at sunset because they're protecting the coverage of other clear channel stations, for example, that cover wider areas at nighttime. But with darkness coming in the middle of the afternoon, those stations will still be on the air that are normally there during the daytime, but their signals don't get out that far. Now it will be nighttime conditions, and those stations' signals may travel much further than they normally would during normal daytime hours. So those could be targets for you to look for as well. You may not even be very far away from some of those stations that are too far for you to hear during daylight, but they might be heard if they were to stay on at nighttime. So that's something definitely to for medium wave AM station DXers to be looking for. That would be pretty neat to be able to hear some daytime stations during the day that you would never hear on any other day except the day of a solar eclipse.
Well, I will have a radio actually with me, and I will be tuning around, especially the medium wave band, as the eclipse progress and then ends. It's going to be interesting. I got a few targets. I'm curious. Will some of the powerful nighttime stations we get in Montreal, like WCBS or WBZ Boston, will that be briefly coming in mid-afternoon with the darkness path? It'll be interesting to test that.
You know, we have new tools available to us now that we haven't had maybe in the past during total eclipses like this. And those are SDRs, the software-defined radios. I'm sure there's going to be a lot of people with those SDRs that are going to have them set up within the total darkness path and just capturing the full medium wave band or the full radio spectrum as much as they want to cover for that period of the totality. And then going back afterwards and going through and scanning through the recording just to see what they've been able to hear. And if you know, you've got a total eclipse of 3 minutes or so, you say, how much could you listen to in 3 minutes? With an SDR, you record that whole spectrum and then go back and see what was there on all the different frequencies. So that's something that I'm sure a lot of you will be doing if you are familiar with SDRs and if you own one, have it set up. You can leave it, have that recording going, and you can go outside and watch the eclipse yourself because people are going to be torn. Like, what am I going to do? I want to watch the eclipse. I want to listen to the radio. You know, there's maybe other things going on. So if you have the SDR and the capability of recording the spectrum, I think that would be a great thing to be able to do. What you might want to do is have the recording going, you know, maybe half an hour or so before the eclipse begins even, and let it run through until after totality and going on beyond and see, you know, you should get that peak in the middle and then dropping, tailing back off again as the eclipse moves forward. So that's really, I think that's probably going to be the most exciting part for the, particularly the medium wave DXers, I'm sure, getting all geared up for that sort of activity. We've received some postings that have been up on a number of the different information boards from people who are really big time into this, and they've got all kinds of theories and scenarios that they've laid out. We're not going to go through them all because some of them are quite detailed and kind of technical, but just mention a couple of them quickly. This comes from William Scott, WE7W, an amateur radio operator for the International Radio Club of America, and that is a medium wave club specializing in AM reception. He goes on to say, DXing the medium waves promises to be an exciting event on April the 8th during the total solar eclipse. I've been mulling over the DX possibilities a lot lately and have come to some conclusions. I think it boils down to three promising DX scenarios. Scenario one, for those who live within or very near the path of totality, I believe best chances of DX would be first to listen to your southwest along the path where totality is approaching. Darkness will already have happened in that direction, and a certain amount of residual deionization of the ionosphere will still remain. After that point of totality passes your location, I would swing my attention to the northeast. So that's the path that the totality is following, from the southwest up towards the northeast and traveling across that stretch. Scenario two he talks about, for those living within about 800 kilometers or about 500 miles of the path of totality, I believe the best chance would be a perpendicular path across the totality path to a point roughly equidistant or equal to on the other side. This puts the signal reflection point right at the center of the totality path, or the deepest point of darkness. And scenario three, for those living more than 800 kilometers from the path of totality, I believe the best chance would be along a line from your receiving site to a perpendicular intersection to the totality path. This should define the greatest shaded path. I think that scenarios one and two have the best possibility for DX. And he just quickly goes on to say, across the U.S. and Canada, from its entirety at Texas to its exit through Northeast Canada and into the Atlantic Ocean, the totality path width varies from a maximum of 199 kilometers at U.S. entry point to about 160 kilometers at the Atlantic exit, or 123 to 99 miles.
One thing also that I would mention, we don't talk a lot about what shortwave will bring us. There will be some effect, definitely, but shortwave, I think what I would here focus on is the U.S. stations like WWCR, WBCQ. These are the stations that, if there is an effect to see, these are the ones going to be affected the most, because they are close or within the path of totality for most of them. Choose one frequency and look if you can notice, you know, a dip in propagation conditions or...
Yeah, I don't think there'll be much of an effect anyways. I don't think there would be any impact there. So I think your really best top priority would be medium wave AM band, then second probably the short wave. But, you know, well, like we said, with SDRs, record as much as you want if you've got the ability to do that. And as Jill said, on the online SDRs, the Kiwi SDRs is the biggest site. There's hundreds of SDRs set up online that you can go and monitor. There's a nice world map. You can just look at the world map and pick a spot where there's an active one and see if you can get on board. I'm sure the ones in the United States will be pretty active. They might be jammed up because most of them have a limit to the number of users at one time. So plan it out. You've got some time. It's happening tomorrow. You're listening to us now. You've got a little more than 24 hours to get everything ready and plan your attack as to how you're going to make the maximum use out of it. I'm going to be watching here at home, radio's going, but also watching other things going on. We're bird watchers here, and I want to see how the birds react to sudden darkness in the middle of the day. So that'll be fun. Lots of events going on. Check your local town as well. If you've got a planetarium, there's probably things going on. I know here in Montreal, the old port in Montreal has got a huge event going on. They're expecting to get like 100,000 people or something down there, they said. So check it out and see what you can come up with. If you get any interesting results, we'd love to hear from you. Let us know, you know, what you experienced, and enjoy it. It's the only one that all of us are going to probably see, certainly in our neck of the woods, you know, in our lifetime. So do take advantage of it.
Yeah, definitely. And if you're in Montreal and you don't want to go very far, the planetarium, one of the suggestions they have is, why not go on one of the islands on the south shore, the Île Sainte-Hélène, to enjoy what will be for the Montreal area the longest eclipse possible.
Now, we have a lot of other information about the eclipse. We're going to post a bunch of links that were supplied in this article that William Scott put together. We'll put that up on our Facebook group so you can take a look at it. And just, you know, go online, type in solar eclipse 2024, and you're going to just find so much stuff out there. But particularly the radio aspect, of course, that's what we talk about here. And there are so many different aspects. There's a bunch of ham radio activities going on as well. HamSci is an organization of volunteer citizen scientists and professionals who study the upper atmospheric and space physics. They're doing all kinds of special experiments going on during the eclipse as well. So the aftermath will be interesting to read up on everything that was discovered. We have so many new tools available to us now that maybe we didn't have the last time around. So it'll be interesting. So many people probably wonder, you know, why do we do this solar weather stuff every week on this show? The connection between the effects of the sun on communications on our planet, just amazing. Wow. You probably, you know, we barely scratched the surface of the research that's being done out there. But just imagine when the sun isn't there to do what it does normally, how things change suddenly, even if for just a few minutes. We've got to take advantage of this happening in our lifetime. And I think we're fortunate to understand it a little bit more ourselves with the radio aspect of it. So we hope you have fun with it and try it out if you've never done it before. It's going to be a really interesting day. And I hope you have clear skies wherever you might be.
Yep. So we have upcoming ham radio contests.
It is going to be a busy weekend, a number of events taking place next weekend in the ham radio world. First off, organized by the Japan International DX Contest Group is the Japan International DX CW Contest, 0700 April 13th to 1300 Zulu April 14th. And the objective there is for amateurs around the world to contact Japanese hams in as many of the Japanese prefectures and the JD1 islands owned by Japan as possible, and for amateurs in Japan to contact DX stations in as many of the DXCC countries and zones around the world. So the mode is CW, and the bands are all the major HF ham bands, 80 meters, 160 meters actually, through 10 meters.
We have the IGRY Worldwide RTTY Contest. The contest goes from 1200 hours Zulu April 13th to 1800 Zulu April 14th, organized by the Interest Group RTTY. Bands 3.5, 7, 14, 21, and 28 megahertz, and a mode, radio teletype.
The Straight Key Century Club is holding another one of their weekend sprintathons, 1200 Zulu April 13th to 2359 Zulu April 14th, 160 through 10 meters, no work bands, and it is CW only.
There's the New Mexico QSO Party, 1400 Zulu April 13th to 0200 Zulu April 14th, organized by the Sandia Vista Amateur Radio Club. Contest bands are 160 through 2 meters without the work bands, and CW phone and digital modes.
The state of Georgia is also holding a QSO party, 1800 Zulu April 13th to 2359 Zulu April 14th. And it is organized by the North Fulton Amateur Radio League, 160 through 6 meters, phone and CW modes. So that is everything we have for you this week, be it ham radio contest, be it the solar eclipse. I think that will take priority for all of our radio fans out there. So enjoy it. Have fun. In the meantime, if you'd like to get in touch with us, our email address is radioreport@yahoo.com. Our station, CKUT, is live streaming and archived. You can get our show there. Facebook, our International Radio Report group, has 957 members. We invite you to join the group. Our YouTube channel, where you can get the show at your convenience, look for International Radio Report on YouTube. You can subscribe to the channel. And our X account is at IRRCKUT. We invite you to follow us there. Have a great week. Have a great solar eclipse day tomorrow. And we'll talk to you again next Sunday here on CKUT 90.3 FM with the International Radio Report.
Bye-bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.
United Nations.